The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live.
Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue will be accompanied by a couple of episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which will expand on the content and provide you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous podcasts on the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page or nursingnoteslive.com, or visit iTunes to subscribe to the podcast. The campaign encourages you to check out its Portrait of Thanks Mosaic Project, which invites nurses from around the world to submit a photo online to be part of a historical image of nursing. For every photo of a nurse uploaded between now and February 1st, 2012, the campaign will donate $1 to the foundation of the National Student Nurses Association to help fund nursing student scholarships. Submit your photo today at www.campaignfornursing.com/portraitofthanks. And check out the five finalists in the Amazing Nurses Contest at the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page. The grand prize winner will be announced on December 11th. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This month marks the one-year anniversary of Nursing Notes Live. In this month's episode, Nursing Notes Live takes a look at the world of orthopedic nursing. This month's featured get-to-know nurse is Marianne Kenyon, Nursing Director for Orthopedics at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. I asked Marianne how she became a nurse and arrived at an orthopedic nursing career. Marianne, it's great to have you as a guest on Nursing Notes Live, and we always try to start off these get-to-know nurse segments with just asking you what led you to become a nurse to begin with.
Well, thanks for having me. And I had sort of a different path to becoming a nurse. I was at a small all-girls school. This was back in the 70s, so they really were empowering us to study math and science, and it was just really starting to be accepted that women, girls went into engineering and some of the high-tech fields that were just starting. So originally, I wanted to be a civil engineer. I wasn't even thinking nursing. My father was a civil engineer. I wanted to do that. And through some guidance through my father and one of the sisters at the school I was attending, they looked at my aptitude and thought I would be better suited in nursing. And so it was something that I came to slowly. I wasn't really sure that's where I was going to start. And I think my father's exact words were, give it a month. Try it. Just give it a month. And I have to tell you, after the first even just month of college, I was really intrigued. We had a variety of courses, you know, science-based. We had a very beginning nursing course that you just really, I think all you could do was talk to a patient. And I had a good feeling about it. I liked it. It felt comfortable. It felt like I was doing something. Every day was different. And it just sort of grew from there. It grew quietly from there. And years later, I'm very happy that that's the course I chose. I would never have chosen anything else. But it was a quieter start.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the push to help girls become more interested in going into the hard sciences. And yet a traditional female career path like nursing is certainly very science focused. I mean, it's all about the science and science-based care and research-based care. So I wonder if people were missing the point there.
I think we did. I think when I started school, I graduated from high school in the late 70s, and back then, nursing wasn't a baccalaureate program required at the time. It was still a three-year hospital course, and I think from a young girl who was in a school, it was an all-girls school, so we were very empowered, and to look at nursing, it might have felt a little soft for me. They were in hospitals, they were not handmaidens, but that idea was certainly still out there. And I thought I wanted to be more. I wanted to have a voice. So if I was going to make a difference, I wanted to make a difference. And so I think when I went to college, and I actually, the college I went to had a 3-year associate degree program, and it was just moving towards all 5-year students. And the 5-year was the baccalaureate. And so I went into the 5-year program, and it felt academic-based. It felt like it had all those hard sciences. I mean, I think we took 9 science courses in our first 2 years, and we were taking them alongside the physical therapy students and the pharmacy students. And so right out of the gate, you felt that collaboration with the healthcare team or what the healthcare team was going to become. So when I got there, it definitely met my expectations. But when I first started, I wasn't really sure what it was going to look like.
You know, I've never met anybody that said nursing school was easy. You know, I mean, it's
and
not
I won't
like,
say that either.
and I don't put down anybody's major in college, but I would hold up the rigors of any nursing program, even our associate's degree nursing programs that are out there, are certainly more rigorous than any of the other programs, or as rigorous as any other program in their program in their schools.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to be in the college environment. I didn't want to start my career right out of high school in, you know, a nursing hospital-based program, probably because it was predominantly women at the time, and I was coming from a 4-year all-girls school. So
I completely understand. You needed to get out there into the broader civilian marketplace.
Exactly.
So what about orthopedic nursing? Did you start out right out of school as an orthopedic nurse, or did you move into that after, you know, doing some med-surg or emergency or something else?
I didn't. I've always been in Boston and or predominantly on the East Coast. And when I graduated from nursing school, you could not buy a job. It was very similar to the flavor of nursing right now. It was tough to get into a hospital. And I graduated from college in June, and I started grad school in August because the jobs were not that plentiful. So I went right on and got my master's and worked part-time, and I worked on a floor. It was very unique. It was 10 beds, 5 of them were rehab, and 5 of them were dermatology, just a very eclectic group of patients.
That's interesting.
it was at Yale New Haven Hospital, and it was very eclectic. And I loved the rehab end of it. The derm was nice, but, you know, it offset the hard work that the rehab patients were going through. The derm patients were having tar put on them to soften up their, you know, plaques on their skin. And so I liked the rehab end of it. And when I graduated from grad school, I moved back to Boston and applied for the hospital where I currently work still. And the floor that was open at the time was orthopedics. And I think I was just open to anything. I was, one, happy to have a job. And two, I had only been working part-time since I graduated from nursing school, again, concentrating on my master's degree. And so wasn't committed one way or the other, and started in ortho. And at that time, ortho was even different than my orthopedic unit right now. It was orthopedics with a heavy concentration of rheumatology. And I just loved it. I think for me, I liked the fact that the patients came in not feeling so well. They came in with debilitating arthritis. And they stayed for about 10 days to 14 days. And when they left, they still weren't fully mobile. They weren't independent, but they were getting there and they were getting better. And I think that's the part that really attracted me and still attracts me to orthopedics. You see an immediate improvement in someone's life, and it's an improvement that's going to carry them forward. It's only going to continue to make their life better. You know, immediately after surgery, when you see them walking, they're only going to get better. They're going to lose the walker. They're going to lose the crutches, and they're going to be independent, and they're going to be back to their life in 6 weeks. I mean, I'm not sure there's another field that really has that high of an impact on patients.
You know, mobility is so important to who we are. You know, that independent movement of being able to walk across the room to pick up something you want to have is so central to just being a person and your general health that, you know, it is such an impact.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we hear from our patients. We do have the luxury of seeing them preoperatively in a class we teach them to get them ready for, do you really know what you're signing up for? This is, you know, majority of it is elective surgery. So do you know what you're setting yourself up for? Do you know what your needs are going to be? And you can make all kinds of provisions before you get here so you have a smooth transition and less worry when you're here. And one of the things patients frequently say is, I'm so frustrated right now. Either they've, you know, been unable to participate in a sport or an activity that they enjoy. And the same thing, they, you know, if it's a hip, they can't bend over the way they could before. They can't sit for as long as they used to. So just being able to get them back to their lives is so gratifying.
You know, I was looking at some of the things about orthopedic nursing recently, and one of the terms that really leapt out at me was, you know, not an official medical healthcare term, but boomeritis, this aging population coming in with existing sports injury problems, and they're aging. So they've got arthritis, they've got the normal challenges that go along with an aging population or an aging individual, and then they have had a very active life up to a certain point, and they want to maintain that activity. You know, what do you say to those patients?
Well, we welcome them here. We're glad they made this first step. We are seeing exactly what you just said. We are seeing the weekend warriors. We're seeing the early mid 40-ish. Population that was very active through college and high school and just wear and tear on their joints. And then we're seeing older patients who are really so active and vital already and are starting to get limited. And that makes them feel old, and they don't want to feel old. They want to, you know, stay active and busy. And so most of our patients, we do encourage them to stay as active as possible before they have their surgery. And then we try to give them the mindset that you're not sick. Unlike some patients who might come to a hospital, you're not sick. You're electing to come and make your life better. So don't get into sick mode. When you're here, participate in your physical therapy. Get out of bed as much as you can. Participate in your exercises and have that plan for when you go home that you're going to continue to just get more and more independent.
We so often talk about educating our patients as an important part of the nursing process, but I think a lot of people often think about that as discharge instructions, and there's really a lot more to it.
There's definitely a lot more to it, and our class has been perfected over the last several years, and it's co-taught by a physical therapist, a nurse, and a care coordination nurse. And we each have very separate roles, but very supportive roles of each other. So our physical therapist will instruct the patients on what they can expect for their milestones. That's usually a big question for them. You know, I play golf. When can I go back to golf? You know, I ride a bike. When can I do that? And that's, they want to know that they're progressing on a normal scale. So our physical therapist is able to set some short-term goals with them and really give them some hopeful encouragement that this is definitely the right thing to do in their life. And they walk them through some exercises, they demonstrate them with them of things that they should start doing before they get here. And the nurse is able to come in and really talk about her supporting role in pain management and cryotherapy and making sure that the patient's on their baseline medications and their dressing and all those things that make them feel confident that they can go home independently and help them to participate in their physical therapy to the maximum while they're here and get closer to independence. And then the care coordination nurse, she sort of pulled up the back end and make sure that they know that we're not just going to let them out the door, that we are going to continue to follow them when they leave, setting them up with VNA at home and making sure that they have physical therapy support when they leave until they see their surgeon again and sometimes even beyond that. But the class has been great. It's an opportunity for them to ask questions. As most people in orthopedics know, patients who have a knee replacement or a hip replacement often have a second joint replacement as well. So in the room, when you have a group of patients and their loved ones, their supports in the room, the conversation is so rich. They, you know, patients will turn around and talk to the people sitting near them and say, oh, well, this happened the last time I was here. And they'll give them helpful hints and tell them what to do. And it just becomes a very exciting exchange between people. And often people linger long after class just having conversations. And we're just going to start looking at how do we get our class or a class to everybody, because we're a large academic medical center. Not all of our patients are from Massachusetts. some of them are going to choose to have surgery here, but they're not from here. So we're looking at things like podcasts and YouTube videos and what kind of up-to-date brochures we can send them that have the right information so they're not Googling things and making themselves nervous. And then making sure that they have human contact. We usually follow up our joint class with patients have my card, and we tell them if you have any kind of questions when you go home, don't sit at home and worry. Call, and people will call. They'll get home and they'll start thinking about what they heard in class, what they learned, and trying to make complete sense of it so that they're totally prepared when they get here. And they do. We have been able to demonstrate that patients who come to class and participate do so much better, and they're usually out post-op day 2 in the afternoon. And they're going home.
You know, I think we've overtrained our patients to have this expectation that they can't get their questions answered over the phone. And yet there's such an important aspect of the ability of telenursing, of that ability to answer those questions over the phone from a trained nurse, that really helps alleviate a lot of the patient's problems and deals with issues before they become a problem. And it sounds like you all have really, you know, met that challenge head on.
We've tried. I think we've learned over several years. I've been doing this about 27 years now, that patients will start to get a level of anxiety if they don't have their questions answered, because they'll just fill in the gap of, you know, I think I heard this, or, you know, my friend who had their joint done 35 years ago told me this. And that's a message we are very clear with in class, is don't sit at home and worry. Don't Google. I mean, Googling is fine, but if you need an answer, if you have a question, here's the person. This is a direct line. You're not going to get put on hold. You're not going to, you know, sort of go into a queue and no one's going to answer your question. There's a live voice on the other end, usually me, and we are here to help. And nursing is so central. You know, you figure orthopedic patients, they're going to see a doctor, they're going to see a physical therapist, they're going to see care coordination. And yet it's nursing who chose to own this piece of it. I can ask a question of a physical therapist if I have to, but then I can take that back to the patient and really interpret it in a way that they can understand it. And one of our patients, she was having a struggle with she had a dental problem, and she had heard in class that if you have joint surgery, you might need, you know, to take an antibiotic dose afterwards. And she was very confused. She went to her dentist, and her dentist said, you know, don't have any dental work done before you have your joint surgery. And we, of course, tell them, if you have the opportunity, have your dental surgery before you have a new joint replacement, just to protect your joint. And so she agonized over it. I think she called me every day for a week. And I was able to talk her down. You know, this is okay. Go to the dentist. You're going to be fine. And when she got here, she said, I want to see your face. I want to make a connection. And it was really great. She was able to express that just knowing that someone was listening to her and sort of holding her hand through the whole thing made her much less anxious. And she did fabulous. She had a great experience.
And that point really shows that distance nursing, whether it's telenursing or even answering, you know, text questions and things like that, are good ways to connect to patients and create that caring nursing relationship, even though it is at a distance. And it's clearly evidenced by the fact that she wanted to meet you because she had formed that relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. And it felt good for me, too, because I had invested in this patient, and I wanted to make sure I could deliver on what I said. And she did great. Like I said, she did great. It's a really good experience.
What about for that person's considering a move into orthopedic nursing? What would you say to that new nurse that is interested in orthopedics, or perhaps an existing nurse who's thinking of changing career paths?
For me, orthopedics has been my passion. I mean, I started, full time in that field, and I have just never left it. And I'm fortunate to have a group of nurses who work with me who have been here through the whole journey with me. But in this day and age, everyone wants the glamour. They want the ICU. They want the NICU. They want the emergency room. And those areas are so specialized that it's hard for a new nurse to always break into them. And I tend to hire a lot of brand new nurses right out of school. We call them newly licensed nurses, NLNs. And I would say I probably hire about 15 a year. And many of them I have to believe, showed up at my office because it was a job. And as I sit and talk to them, I really try to tell them about orthopedics, and it's so much more than a job. But taking care of an orthopedic patient is probably one of the best foundations any new nurse could have, because the patients, one, they're not chronically ill. They're not even acutely ill. So you've got a patient who is going to be able to partner with you and go through the journey together and feel better and know that they're going to leave here in a better state. The orthopedic surgery itself, I mean, surgery is a great place to work. The patients, they have a surgical wound. You've got all those post-op things that you have to look for, their vital signs, bleeding. There's a fair amount of tubes and drains and IVs, pain management. So you get a smattering of all that. But what I sometimes think really helps the new nurses, all the orthopedics come with their own comorbidities. So you might parade in 10 people who have had their total knee, and their knees all may look the same, but the patient doesn't look the same. Some have diabetes, some have heart disease, some are status post-transplants, and it's all that other stuff that you really get to touch on. And so I think it gives you such a broad picture of what a patient can be, what healthcare is. You interface with just about every service. I mean, we have orthopedic oncology. We have orthopedic patients who come with metabolic issues. We have orthopedic patients who have cardiac or transplant medicine issues. And they're not just hips and knees. They are this total patient who everyone looks different. And the nurses that usually come to my unit, they'll stay 3-4 years, and then they are really ready to transition to just about any other field of nursing there is. They have just an exposure to so much. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We think, oh, it's orthopedic surgery. You know, there's traction and it's heavy and the patients can't walk. But it's so much more than that. I think it's a great place to start your nursing career.
And I don't know. I used to have the impression that orthopedic nursing, when I was going through nursing school, was like the construction zone of the hospital. You know, it was like, if you like tools and, but really, I just doing the research for this even has opened my eyes even more, is that the patients are not just surgical candidates all the time. There are patients that have joint issues that don't require surgery, but do require some thoughtful and critical thinking from a nurse to help them find the solution that can help them manage whatever their issue is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's I think orthopedics is just an amazing field, and the technology and the techniques, as I say, I started here a long time ago, and our patients came, I think our hips and knees respectively stayed 10 and 14 days. They'd come with their luggage, they'd come with, you know, everything they owned because they were staying. And our patients now, same surgeries, I mean, same idea of a surgery, they're in and out 48 hours post-op. And if you had told me that back in the 80s, I would have said you're crazy. You know, there's no way. Their pain can't even be managed in that short of a time. And I'm very fortunate to work with a fabulous multidisciplinary group of physicians and physical therapists and nurses. And we have been marching into the future with these patients. And I think sometimes we have to stand back and just say, wow, it's just amazing. Like, this is amazing work that these patients are having major surgery on a joint, and they're at the day of surgery. They're walking the day after surgery. They're on crutches on day two, and they're back to their lives. I just think it's just amazing. It's almost like Bionic, the Bionic Woman. I grew up with that TV show, and it almost feels like that. You know, you're rebuilding these people, and they're happy, you know. They're happy. You can see them. They're walking around the floor. They're not dragging IV poles and sitting in Johnny's. They've got their, you know, gym shorts on and their sneakers, and they're trucking around the floor, and they're ready to go. They're happy. It's changed their life.
Sounds like you're empowering these patients. That's such a different way of looking at healthcare that it's really exciting to have talked with you. What's one of the things that you take away from this as a nurse?
Well, for me, I've done the whole journey. I started here as a staff nurse. I was a clinical educator and have been the director for several years. And I think the most exciting thing for me is still the patient contact. I may you know, be pulled away to meetings and things like that. But I try to be on the floor for a significant portion of every day. I try to see every patient every day. I will go back and admit patients. I will teach the pre-op joint class. I think for me, it's just staying connected to the reason why we do this, staying connected to the patients and the families. And I have a little bit of a luxury of being able to sit with a patient and family and talk to them. You know, how is this, you know, how has this changed you? What are your plans? You know, you've got a brand new knee now. What are your plans? What's the first thing you want to do? And it's really interesting to listen to the patients. You know, we had one woman who said, I'm going to Italy. I have been wanting to go to Italy forever, and my knees bother me, and I just didn't know how I was going to get there, and my friends had been there. And as soon as she got the green light from her surgeon, she was going to fly over to Italy and get to fulfill a dream. So I think that the patient contact is what keeps them coming to work every day. And the fact that our patients do so well, they do well. You ask them, you engage them in conversation, and they say, I don't know why I didn't do this before. I don't know why I was so nervous. It's just amazing.
Don't forget to check out the entire October 2011 issue of Nursing Notes, digging into the world of the orthopedic nurse. This month's Nursing Notes newsletter reveals the origins of orthopedic nursing, injuries that lead to boomeritis, and gives a look at the upcoming National League for Nursing's Technology Conference. You can read the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com, and don't forget to catch the other Nursing Notes Live episode this month, featuring a panel of orthopedic nurse leaders and their thoughts on the future of this field of nursing. You'll find this and other podcast episodes at www.nursingnoteslive.com, the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page, and in the podcast area in iTunes.
Nursing Notes Live is produced each month for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.